So this is Advanced Spoken English Lesson 4, and this is part 2 of 4 parts. Parts 1, 2 and 3, and the slides and the audio commentary for them are available in separate files. So this is part 2, and this is slide 1, and we're looking at intonation. And we looked at the 4 functions of intonation, and we've got to function number 2, accentual. And accentual function focuses attention on a particular lexical item or syllable through tonic stress. Okay, and the quotation from Roach here is, "It is frequently said that the placement of the tonic syllable indicates the focus of the information." So tonic stress, the focus of the information. So in a tone unit, we'll have a tonic syllable where we have the stress for the information. It's getting a bit technical now. Let's change slide and go on to slide 2. So here on slide 2, we're going straight into function 3, and that's the grammatical function. It's a little more interesting. And in this respect, intonation enables a listener to recognize the grammatical or syntactical structure of what is being said, particularly the boundaries between phrases, clauses, sentences, and the difference between statements and questions and subordination. So we'll be looking at those particular categories in the next few slides. So let's change slide now and go to slide number 3. Still looking at the grammatical function. And here we have the intonation, which is useful in order to disambiguate what otherwise would be an ambiguous utterance. And we've got the example here of the phrase, you can see, I'll say it in my robot voice, those who sold quickly made a profit. Okay, so we haven't used our intonation there to make clear what exactly the meaning of that phrase is. And we've got 2 possible meanings, which I've put here as 1 and 2. In the first one, those who sold quickly made a profit. Number 2, those who sold quickly made a profit. And you can see that line which is making a separation there, making the intonation different to give us a different meaning. Because if we look in number 1, those who sold quickly made a profit, that is, it's the profit which was made quickly. If we look at number 2, those who sold quickly made a profit. It's the selling which was done quickly there. So that tone unit boundary makes a difference to the meaning. If we have in 1, those who sold as 1 tone unit, and then quickly made a profit as the other tone unit, we have the idea that the profit was made quickly. If we have in number 2, those who sold quickly as a tone unit, and then another tone unit made a profit with the tone boundary after quickly, and then it's the selling which was done quickly. If you like, you can think of this as a kind of punctuation. If we were writing, we would possibly put commas here just to make the meaning clear. But we don't have punctuation when we're speaking. We have intonation. And let's change slide now to slide 4. We're still in the grammatical function, and we're still looking at the way intonation and the tone unit boundaries can make what otherwise would be ambiguous utterances. Remember, an utterance is a piece of speech. Unambiguous there. So this time we've got the sample sentence you can see there on the slide. I'll do it in my robot voice again. The Conservatives who approved Brexit voted against the deal. Okay, I've done a bit of word stress and stress-timed language there, but I didn't make tone unit breaks there. And we can see that there are 2 possibles, just as we had in the previous slide. If we look at number 1, the Conservatives, We have the Tone Unit who approved Brexit. We have the other Tone Unit voted against the deal. And number two, the Conservatives who approved Brexit, Tone Unit, voted against the deal. Okay. So in number one, where we have the Tone Unit boundary after Conservatives and then after Brexit, this gives the meaning that all the Conservatives approved Brexit. But in two, where we have the Tone Unit, the Conservatives who approved Brexit, and then the other Tone Unit voted against the deal, that means that only some of the Conservatives approved Brexit. Okay, so again, you can think of it in terms of speech punctuation, because once again, in writing, we would probably have put commas to make clear who, how many of the Conservatives were voting against the deal or approved Brexit there. And you can see that one actually is a non-defining relative clause, whereas two is a defining relative clause. The Conservatives who approved Brexit, that's the defining thing, voted against the deal. So the Conservatives who approved Brexit, that's just an incidental extra piece of information, non-defining relative clause, voted against the deal. And there we would have put commas in writing, but we wouldn't have put commas in number two. So on we go to the next slide. And here we are on slide five, still in the grammatical function of intonation, but now we're looking at the difference between questions and statements, which can be communicated through intonation. And generally for questions, we have in English a rising tone for an interrogative. For example, do you want some tea? Here we'd have a rising tone on tea. But we also have a grammatical marking of the interrogative form, because we've got the auxiliary do and the inversion do you want instead of you want there, which also communicates interrogative. However, some Englishes, American English, and some UK regional varieties wouldn't use that grammatical marking of the interrogative, but would just use intonation. So they'd have the form, again, I'll use the robot voice, you want some tea for a question. So with the intonation, we need to distinguish there whether this is just a statement, you want some tea, or you want some tea, a question. So number one, you want some tea. It's got a falling tone on tea. You want some tea. You can imagine a situation, somebody comes in tired and sympathetically somebody says, oh, you want some tea, I'll get you some immediately. Whereas in number two, you want some tea, where we have that rising tea, it's clearly a question. And you'll only get the tea if you answer yes. I could do with some tea now. Ah, the things I have to do with that for this. So let's change slide and go to number six here. And we're moving into the discourse functions of intonation now. And we've got a quotation from Roach. The tone chosen can indicate whether the tone unit in which it occurs is being used to present new information or to refer to information which is felt to be already possessed by speaker and hearer. And I've underlined, well, I've actually repeated and put part of it in red here, by speaker and hearer, because this is very, very important, not just in everyday conversation, but from the point of view of what we're going to be working on in the second half of this course of lessons, the presentations. Because in a presentation, a large amount of the speech, remember in a presentation, speech is unidirectional. The presenter is speaking and the audience is listening. They don't have usually the means of a dialogue, a response to the speech till the end. So a large proportion of the speech is going to be new to the listener. That's usually the point of a presentation, to present new information. And thus it's very important that the intonation signal this new information correctly. Otherwise, the listeners will not be able to respond effectively in their understanding, in their perception. They need to be able to distinguish what is new, not just by doing a rapid check with their brain, but by hearing the presentation with the intonation which communicates immediately new information from already known information. This is why we're spending so much time on intonation, apart from the joy of the subject, in these lessons. So let's change slide now to slide number 7. And here we've got just some little lines and explanations, because in the next couple of slides we'll see language with these symbols and you need to know what they mean. So we've already seen this straight line going up, straight vertical line, to distinguish the tone unit, to have where the division between one tone unit and another occurs. And then we've got that slash the diagonal, and that indicates a rising tone. And if you look, for example, it's obvious it's going upwards, so it's a rising tone. That's what we would have had on the T for the interrogative. And the diagonal going the other way is a falling tone. And that would have been in the statement, you want some tea. Tea would have had that falling tone mark if we were marking the intonation and the tone in a piece of discourse. And then we have a combination where we have a falling rising tone. So you can see there it looks like a letter V, but it's actually going down and then going up again on the same syllable there. And this seems strange when we see it, but it's used a lot in speech where we have a fall and rise at the same time there. And now we change slide and go to slide number 8, still on the discourse, and here you'll see those symbols that we've just looked at in use in our example sentence. I'll just read it first of all like a robot, and then I'll read it and you'll be able to see how the symbols indicate the difference in the tone there in the intonation. So first the robot. Since the last time we met, when we had that huge, I can't do it, it's really hard, I'll start again. Since the last time we met, when we had that huge dinner, I've been on a diet. It's very difficult to take the intonation out of one's voice when speaking. So we've got the tone units, since the last time we met, then when we had that huge dinner, and then I've been on a diet. Now there, I think you probably heard the intonation stress with the falling rising there, and then the falling on diet. So let's see how this relates to the knowledge shared by the speaker and listener. So the first two tone units, since the last time we met, when we had that huge dinner, okay, this is knowledge shared by the speaker and the hearer or the listener. And then the third and final tone unit, I've been on a diet. This is the new information, something new the speaker is telling the hearer. So you see that we've got the rising tone and the rising falling tone. I'll say that again. The rising tone and the falling rising tone represent the shared knowledge. And then the falling tone represents the new information, the dinner. So since the last time we met, when we had that huge dinner, I've been on a diet. So not only is the word in the last position in the sentence, which again suggests it's important, but we have the intonation stressing that I've been on a diet by the fall there. If by chance we'd had a rising tone or a rising falling tone, I've been on a diet, this would not then communicate to the listener that that was new information. And that's the end of section two. So section three will be on another file, another slides file, and another sound file, because we've got to 15 minutes again. How time flies when you're enjoying yourself.